launch our GCF New Valley Discipleship Program. And I hope and pray that all of you will enroll in this in our discipleship program. Actually, it's a 5-course. From time to time, we will also allow you to see other courses. That's the first course, Bible Survey, because we want to really equip GCF New Valley with the Word of God. That is our values here, truth based on God's Word, the centrality of the Word of God. So my prayer, once we get hold of the workbooks, this is in partnership with Teach Every Nation, with Bruce Wilkinson. So I hope and pray that you will all enroll. We will, perhaps next month, we will have a pre-registration. We'll try as much as possible to cover all time, perhaps Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and even Sunday in-betweens of worship services para wala po kayong kawala, di ba? So lahat ng oras meron, Saturday morning, hindi kayo pwede, Saturday ng hapon, hindi pa rin pwede doon sa in-between ng first service at saka yung sa second service natin at 1 p.m. ng Sunday, siguro doon po pwede na. So para lang lahat kayo, the leadership of GCF New Valley is really trying their best to really give you equipping based on God's Word. So today we will continue in our sermon series. Remember, July, August, September, we are discussing what we call wisdom literature or the poetic books. Last month, we had a survey on the book of Psalms. We had at least 3 passages. And then August, we'll have 3 passages from the book of Proverbs. And then also at the last Sunday, we will discuss God's sovereignty in our suffering based on book of Job. And then September, book of Ecclesiastes and book of the Song of Solomon, one of the hardest book in the Word of God. And we will choose one passage there in the book of Solomon. And we'll try as much as possible for parental guidance when we talk about the book of Song of Solomon. And you will know that once we go to Song of Solomon. Now, Ann Landers had an interesting letter in her column. It was actually from a girl who write her about her uncle and aunt. And this is what she said. My uncle was the tightest man. Pinaka, ano ba yung tightest? Sa atin, kuripot eh, di ba? Yun na ba yun? Or siguro masinop na lang para mas magandang pakinggan sa Tagalog. One of the tightest men I've ever known, she said. All his life, every time he got paid, he will took $20 out of his paycheck and he will just put it under his mattress, bed mattress. Now, then he got sick and was about to die. As he was dying, he said to his wife, I want you to promise me one thing. And the wife said, promise what? Okay. And then this is what he asked of her. I want you to promise me that when I'm dead, you will take all the money under my mattress and then you will put it in my casket so I can have it all with me. Okay. Wow, di ba? Gusto pa rin niya hanggang sa kamatayan niya, di ba? Yung pera anin niya yon, patay na siya, di ba? Now, the girl's letter went on with the story. So he died and his wife actually kept her promise. She went in after her husband died, so she went in and got all the money that day when he died, got all the money under his mattress, and then she deposited it in her in their bank account, and this is what she did, because she wants to keep his promise, right? She wrote a check under his name, and then she put it in his casket. So, kapag na-encash niya, edi kanya lahat yun. Yeah? At least nasa kanya pa rin naman. Now, Church, how do we view our wealth, our possessions, our money? The way we view our wealth, our possession, our money, actually, it says that will say a lot when it comes to honoring God with our wealth, with your wealth. My prayer today is that we will have a proper perspective when it comes to our possessions so that we might honor Him, we might honor God with our wealth. May I invite all of you to please stand and open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3 verses 9 to 10. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 9 to 10. And the word of God says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. May God be praised for the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we come before You, Lord. Indeed, Lord, we will be discussing a very sensitive topic, perhaps one of the closest in our hearts, Lord God, and this is about money, about our possession. So, Father, I pray that may I just be able to speak Your Word, only Your Word, nothing more, nothing less, Lord God. I pray that we will be true to Your Word, and most importantly, Lord, may Your Holy Spirit move in our life so that we can apply the lessons, the principles that we can learn from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now, since this month we are discussing Proverbs, so what is the book of Proverbs? Most of the Proverbs, actually in Tagalog, it's a Kawikaan. Okay, that is the book of Proverbs. And mostly the author is Solomon, although there are other authors, namely Hezekiah, Agur, and Lemuel, but mostly the book of Proverbs, it was written by Solomon. So where is the timeline of Solomon? You can read the story of Solomon in 1 Kings. So if you want to know who Solomon is, read the 1 Kings. That is the timeline of the book of Proverbs. Now, what is the main theme of this book? Let me borrow from Bruce Wilkinson. And this is what he said. The theme of Proverbs is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To fear God is to stand in awe of His righteousness, majesty, and power, and to trust Him by humbly depending upon Him. There is a reciprocal relationship here because the fear of the Lord is the beginning or the foundation of wisdom, but wisdom leads to the knowledge and fear of God. And there is the here's the chart of the book of Proverbs. And one of and our passage actually is in this section, the second one, the father's exhortation. Because in Proverbs chapter 3, you will see at least three times the words "my son." Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, just open it in Proverbs chapter 3. You will see there in verse 1, it says there "my son," and then verse 11, "my son," and then verse 21, "my son." And that is how we divide chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs. And what is the lesson? What are the principles that we can learn from chapter 3? Let me just give you an overview of all the lessons that we can take in Proverbs chapter 3. First, Yahweh is to be trusted, feared, and honored, based on chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And then Yahweh disciplines and He creates, chapter 3, verses 11 to 20. And then 21 to 25, Yahweh looks after those who walk in His way, opposing the wicked. What can we learn from this? So the scripture, the first one, to trust God, the scripture is exhorting us to trust Him by not leaning on our own understanding and by acknowledging God in all of our ways. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. And then the second one, the scripture is encouraging us or exhorting us to fear God by not being wise in our own eyes and turning away from all evil things. Verse 7. And then verses 9 and 10, remember, trust God, fear God, and honor God with our wealth. That is on verses 9 to 10. So today we will just focus on the third one, honoring God with our wealth. So honor God by prioritizing Him with our wealth so that we can be satisfied and ready to share our wealth. Let's look at the requirements given by the scripture to us as believers. Look at what the Word of God says. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now, before we discuss that verb honor, let's first discuss that word Lord. Because every time in the Old Testament, if you will read your Bibles, you will see there sometimes the spelling of the word Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Not just simply capital L and then small letter L, O-R-D. But it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Okay? The meaning of that is actually that is the tetragrammaton Yahweh. In Hebrew, you will read from right to left, not left to right. Okay? That's why there is the letter Y-H-W-H. So every time you will see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that word is the word Yahweh. And what is its significance to us? Yahweh is the personal name of God. And what does it mean? Yahweh means the one who is. He is the absolute, the unchangeable one. And not only that, he is also the life giver. That is what the name means. He is the life giver, the one who is. So the one that we must honor is the one who is absolute, the unchangeable one. And actually, he is the reason why we exist. Church, he is the creator. Remember, the reason why you are here right now, why you exist as a person, it is because of Yahweh. It is because of our God. Now, remember that Yahweh and Jesus, they are one. Because in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn it to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Or if you don't have the hardbound Bible, you can just click it in your mobile phone. Okay, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. It says here, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Meaning, the Word equals God. He, the Word, Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God. And all things, listen to this, church. Remember, Yahweh means creator, okay? And look at the description given by the Apostle John to our Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made through him, through Jesus Christ. And without him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made. And in verse 4, in him was life. So Yahweh and Jesus, they are one. Yahweh, the life giver and creator. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we will see it, they revealed who Jesus is, that he is also the creator and the life giver. So church, the very reason why we exist is because of Jesus Christ. Because of him. Now, all our resources, all our possessions, wealth, okay, I want us to understand that it comes from him. Look at what the Word of God says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It says here, "You shall remember the Lord your God." Why? Because for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. So technically, who gives you the wealth? Who gave you your possession right now? Who gave you your wealth right now? The Word of God says it is he who gives you the power to gain wealth, to have possessions, to have resources. Now, knowing who God is, that he is the creator, he is the life giver, he is the very reason why we exist, he only gave us the power to accumulate wealth, to gain wealth. Okay, what do we need to do? The Bible says we must honor the Lord with our wealth. Now, the word honor there, okay, it means weighty. Weighty in Tagalog, bigatin. Hindi mabigat, di ba? Dahil masyado mabigat yung timbang, but bigatin, weighty. What does it mean? Okay, so that we can understand what does weighty means. Okay, from the TWOT, it says a weighty person in society, it means someone who is honorable, impressive, and look at this, church, look at this, the description of a weighty person, worthy of respect. Remember who Yahweh is. He is creator. He is the life giver. Definitely, church, the very reason why we exist. So he is worthy. Church, he is worthy of respect. He is honorable. Therefore, we should hold him in high esteem because he is Yahweh. He is the absolute, the unchangeable one. The question now is, how are we going to honor him? What is the means in our passage? What is the means by which we will honor him? The Bible says, with your wealth. Now, what does the word wealth means? But I understand, church, that of course we can honor him not only with our wealth, because we need to honor him with our life, so everything that we have. Now, one of the ways that we can honor him is through our wealth. And the word wealth means substance, riches, possessions. From the Hebrew word, okay? From the original meaning, it means substance, riches, and possessions. And it occurred at least 17 times in the book of Proverbs. And when we talk about our possessions or money, did you know that the Bible talks has about 2,300 verses about money? Okay? So our wealth, our possessions, they are part of our life. That is why actually this is a very hard topic, a very sensitive topic. Kaya nga minsan, di ba yung mga pastor, they will invite others to preach about money. Kasi baka isipin, ay, ayan na si pastor. Nagpipreach about money, nanghihingi na ng money. Because this is so close to us, this is very sensitive. But somehow the Lord just impressed in my heart, eh bakit ba, di ba, wala ka naman masamang motibo, so preach about money. Because it's part of the Word of God. Remember, the very reason why we have money, why we have resources, the Bible says, it is He who gives us the power to gain wealth. So who owns actually everything? Who owns everything? Is it us? If He will not give us the power to gain wealth, to have possessions, wala tayo. So I want us to have that kind of perspective that everything comes from Him. So therefore, we must honor Him with our wealth. Take note, it says there, honoring Him and not investing on Him. There is a big difference between those two words, okay? Sometimes we have this mentality, oh Lord, I will give because I am investing in You. So dapat may interest yan pag bumalik. Ganyan nga, investment eh. But the Bible says not to invest. The Bible did not say, invest in the Lord with your wealth. No, it says there, honor the Lord with your wealth because He is worthy of our respect. And honoring Him, that is also actually a thanksgiving to Him because of what He has given us. It is part of our thanksgiving. Remember, He is worthy of respect. Now, here's a reflection that I would like us to ponder this morning. When we give, okay, when we give, does it reflect that we honor Him? I want us to think that this morning, when I give to the Lord, does my giving reflect that I really honor Him? We know how to honor someone, right? Someone, a weighty person, a worthy of respect. If you know a very important person, he will be coming over to your house, to your home, what are you going to do? Of course, lilinis ka ng maayos ng bahay, di ba? And you will give the best food. Tama ba? Maghahanda ka, alam nga naman, ipaghanda mo lang ng kung ano-ano lang yon, di ba? You will give the best food if it is in your house or if you will meet somewhere, you want the best restaurant. Because you will meet a very important person. But what about when it comes to God? Do we really honor Him? When we talk about honoring God with our wealth, do we give God what is right and not what's left of us? Church, let me again ask you, do we give God what's right, what's rightfully His, or what's left? Yung tira-tira na lang ang ibinibigay natin kay Lord. The problem sometimes is that the reason why we just give leftovers to God is because we do not prioritize Him. That's the problem. We do not prioritize Him. Sometimes we include God in our budget, but the worst thing is we include Him, He is at the last in our budget list. We put Him at last. Look at what the Word of God says. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your produce. Let us first understand this in their context during their time, during the time of Solomon. Then we will get the principle here. The word first fruits during the time of the Old Testament, what does it mean? Okay? It is used frequently in the special sense of the choices or the best of a group or a class of things, particularly in reference to items to be set aside for God's service or sacrifice. Now, because God is worthy of respect, they are giving him the best of the crop. That is what they have during that time. The best of their crop. They get what they will offer at the beginning of their harvest, not at the end of their harvest. At the beginning of their harvest, because they want to give the best to the Lord. Now, remember who God is. He is Yahweh. He is deserving because he is our creator. He is the reason why we exist. Okay, so therefore, he is worthy of respect. He is worthy of our honor. So they hold him in high esteem. That is why they give the best to the Lord. So for the Israelites during the Old Testament, it says here, in Israel, honoring the Lord with the first fruits of all their crops was a way of expressing gratitude, a thanksgiving to him for his provisions. It is a way of acknowledging God and his help. Now, here's the timeless principle here. The issue is actually prioritizing God. That's the principle here. We must honor God, okay, by prioritizing him with our wealth. Because when we prioritize God with our possessions, it means we acknowledge, Lord, everything comes from you. Then we can really honor him with our wealth. Now, let me just give you three kinds of mentality when it comes to wealth. Okay? One is poverty mentality. We thought and we think that we should not own material things because matter is evil. Because we say, oh, money is the cause of evil. But let me tell you, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money. Money is neutral. It depends how you use your money. So it's the love of money. That's the problem, not the money itself. There's also this kind of mentality, the prosperity mentality. We thought that once we become a believer, God will give us everything. Let me tell you, Jesus did not die on the cross to give us the riches of this world. No. He died on the cross to give us eternal life. That is his promise. Okay, let me be clear on that. So don't fall into the trap of the name it, claim it theology. Okay? That's a bad theology. Don't fall into that trap. The prosperity gospel. Okay? So poverty, prosperity, and here's the right mentality. Okay? The right perspective. That is what I call provision mentality. This is the right way of thinking pertaining to our possessions. Everything that we have comes from the Lord. That's the premise. Everything that we have comes from the Lord. He is the owner and we are his managers, stewards of his resources. We manage what's his. Okay? Again, remember, it is the Lord who gives us the power, and the word of God says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So everything is from him. The world and all its people belong to him. We are his managers. Okay? We just simply manage his resources, not our resources. Let me share this to you what I learned from one of the businessmen who attends in our church. Okay? He told me that the other businessman asked him regarding the SIBA project Pag-asa, because right now we'd like to have our own building. Our denomination would like to have our own building at Pag-asa Street in Quezon City. So other businessman actually said to him, we are already giving to our church, to where they belong, their local church, and why are we still going to give another one for this building? And guess what his answer? I am so blessed with his answer. And this is what he said. First things first, sabi niya sa mga businessman, we have to understand that everything that we have, it's not ours. We are merely stewards of God's resources. The Lord just gave this to us in trust that we will manage his resources. So if the owner says you give, then you give. Because it is up to him again to replenish his resources. Sabi niya, siya naman ulit ang magbabalik niyan. Magpupuno niya. Ang sabi niya, you give. Okay, ikaw ang owner eh. I am just a manager. Di ba pag manager, sumusunod lang yan doon sa owner ng kumpanya. Hindi yan ang masusunod. Kung ano yung gusto ng owner ng kumpanya, sunod yan. Kasi it's up to the owner naman kung paano ulit kikita. Nag-iisip ulit naman yan. So yun ang mga sinabi niya sa mga businessmen. And I'm so blessed with that because he has this mentality, the provision mentality. That everything that he has, everything that he gained, his possessions, actually it's not his, it's the Lord's. That's why once the Lord impressed in his heart, you give, he can simply give. And he is helping a lot of churches, not only GCF New Valley, but a lot of churches. Because that is what the Lord is asking him to do. He has the Lord has blessed him with many resources, and the Lord said, you help. And we can see how the Lord is continuously blessing this man in order for him to become a blessing to other people. So my prayer, church, is that may we have this kind of mentality, a provision mentality, so that we can honor him with our wealth. As an application, again, the problem is prioritizing him. How can we prioritize him if we have a lot of debts, bad debts? That's the problem. That's why we cannot even prioritize God. So let me just give you some tips on how to become good stewards of our resources. First, again, our problem is prioritizing God with our wealth. Not because of our income. It's because of prioritization of what we need to do. Okay? So you must control your spending habits. That's the first thing that we must do. If we want to prioritize God with our wealth, then we must control our spending habits. Before you even buy things, think first if you really need that gadget or whatever you want to buy. Think first. Check your cabinet first. Do you really need it even before you buy? Second, live a debt-free life. If you want to honor God with your wealth, then live a debt-free life. One of the reasons why we cannot prioritize him is because of debt. If we are debt-free, then we can really prioritize God with our wealth. Third, don't try to impress other people. That's the problem of social media. Tama ba? Yun ang problema ng social media. Sabi nga ni Chinkitan, di ba? Bakasyon ngayon, pulubi later. Kasi gusto may maipakita sa social media. Don't try to impress other people. And don't let your money master you. Be the master of your money. Because if money will master you, you will become greedy. That's the end result. Once you are greedy, you know that it's your money that is mastering you. So don't let your money master you. Remember, the love of money, not the money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, what is the result? If we will follow the requirement of honoring God with our wealth, what is the result? Look at what the Word of God says in verse 10. It says here, then your barns will be filled with, there's that word, plenty. That's a very important word. Okay? The word plenty. Because in the original language, the word plenty means satisfied. It means if you honor the Lord with your wealth, then once you receive a blessing from Him, you will be satisfied. That is what the word plenty here means. You will be satisfied. It is such a blessing to know the answer to this question, how much is enough? Because that's our problem, right? The question of how much is enough. But if we honor Him with our wealth, then we are satisfied. With all the blessings that He is giving us now, we will be satisfied. We can answer that question, how much is enough? We will don't have that issue when it comes to greediness. Church, I've been there, done that. When I was still working, I was really never satisfied with what I have. When I asked the Lord, "Lord, would you please, can I have that position, an IT manager? I want to manage an IT department by the age of 30. And the Lord actually honored that. He gave me that position, IT department. At the age of 30, I'm already managing an IT department of one of the a distributor of telecoms here in the Philippines. And I'm earning a lot at that time. But I was never really satisfied with my salary. And even when it comes to gadgets, I tried to get hold a lot of gadgets na hindi mo naman lahat magagamit, sa totoo lang. So I've been there, done that, I know that. I know the feeling. If you are struggling, I know the feeling. Sasabihin natin, if only I can have an increase. Right? For those of you who are working, an increase, okay na yon. The problem is once we have the increase, we'll also increase our lifestyle. So pag nandun na ulit, hingi ka na naman. Lord, increase ulit. Then magbibigay na ako sa inyo. In-increase ni Lord, increase na naman yung lifestyle. There's no satisfaction. But once we know how to honor God with our wealth, the Bible says, you will be satisfied. And not only that, it says here, another reason is, your vats will be bursting with wine. Now, what does the word wine mean? Okay? The word wine here, it means it's not being drunkenness. Okay? Kasi yan na yung pag-iisip natin ngayon pag sinabing alak, wine. Okay? During that time, this is what it means. That phrase, bursting, okay, with wine. It is natural to suppose that this word for a product often associated with fruitfulness and blessing. Meaning the Lord will continue to bless you. Why? In order for you to become a blessing to others. The more that we honor the Lord with our wealth, the more that He will bless us in order for us to continue to honor Him with our wealth, to become a blessing to others. Because in the New Testament, in the context of giving, helping the Jerusalem church, the poor church in Jerusalem, this is what the Apostle Paul said. Okay? The point is this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for because God loves a cheerful giver. And look at this. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you that he can really bless you with so much. Why? So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you... There's the purpose. You may abound in every good work. Remember, when we honor God with our wealth, the result is we will continue to become fruitful, productive. The Lord will continue to bless us, definitely, if we honor Him with our wealth. But there's a reason in order for us to continue to honor Him with our wealth and to help others to abound in every good work. So church, honor Him by prioritizing Him with our wealth so that we will be satisfied and ready to share. Let me end with this quote from John Maxwell. Whenever God deals us in the areas that are closest to us, and money being one of them, one of the closest thing in our life is money, very quickly we must settle issues on who truly is the Lord of this. We must answer this question. Whose money is this really? Mine or God's? Is it God's money or my money? We must have the right way of thinking. Church, remember, it's provision mentality. It is the Lord who provides. So therefore, we must honor Him with our wealth. Today is a communion Sunday, so it's good for us also to meditate on the love of God, on how the Lord richly provided everything to us, especially His Son, Jesus Christ. He provided us salvation. And church, let me remind you that we can never, ever repay God for what He has done for us, what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Now, let me remind you that the elements are only for those who already profess their faith in Christ and on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. On the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us raise the cup and say, "The blood of Jesus washes away my sins." May I call on our ushers for our giving? Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you will give us a cheerful heart, Lord, as we offer back to you our substance. Lord, I pray that indeed our giving will reflect that we honor you, Lord God, in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we would like to welcome our first-time visitors. If this is your first time with us, may I invite you to please stand up so we can give you a gift from GCF Nuvali. If this is your first time to worship with us, welcome. Shall we all rise for the benediction? May the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Praise God. So why don't we just give our best clap of praise for our God. For really, He's the one who holds everything in this world. And let's just sing and declare this song once again, that His grace is enough for us.